You know, Jake, regular season baseball is in full swing, and there is nothing that goes better with baseball than ice-cold beer, and there is no better place to get ice-cold beer than our old friends. You know them, you love them. It's our buddies at Left Field Brewery, isn't that right?
You know, it's true. I saw today that they put out an ad. Yeah, as we all know, we've discussed that I'm not a sour guy for beers, but a snow cone sour, into it. Into it.
You gotta have one. You gotta have
field,
one.
Field, snow cone goes. Go say. I don't know how to pronounce that, but I'm into it.
We'll ask them. And they'll tell us.
It's true.
We love Left Field Brewery. They're a small community brewery that happen to love baseball. The whole thing is about them loving baseball. There's so many good beers that you can have at the tap room or the bottle shop. 36 Wagstaff Drive in Leslieville, Toronto, Ontario. Open daily Sunday into Thursday, 11 to 9. Friday, Saturday, 11 to 11. What a great place to watch a ball game on the weekend. You can also get it delivered to your doorstep, fanshop.leftfieldbrewery.ca. And if you do that, Less Than Jays listeners can get a free can koozie with any order over $55. Add the koozies to your cart and use promo code Less Than Jays at checkout to do that. Must be 19 plus while supplies last all season long. So pump that in there so they know we sent you and you get your ass a koozie to keep your ice cold beer ice cold. Of course, you know ice cold beer, the classic Ontario blonde ale. The fans demand it. They made it 4.5% ABV. They also made a lime variant. You were talking about the snow cone. They also have ice cold lime. Nothing goes better on these beautiful hot days than a little lime in your beer. That is so, so delicious. You can find them at the brewery, the LCBO, or as I said, fan delivered through the fan shop, fanshop.leftfieldbrewery.ca. And if you're going to do that, make sure you add promo code Less Than Jays and get your free can koozie. Yes, hello inside and welcome. It's regular season baseball. It is time once again for Less Than Jays. It is the home opener has happened. The Jays have been at home. The new balconies and rooftop patios and food options and light shows and bullpens and yada, yada, yada. It's all been unveiled. They've had their first series. They just, moments before we started recording this, dropped game three to not sweep the Detroit Tigers. They are 8-5 through 13 games. I am your boy, the Zoobs, Andrew Zuber. I am joined, as always, I thought maybe I should start doing intros as to who we are at the top of the podcast. What do you think of that, Jake?
It's fine, I guess.
Joined, as always, by my co-host, Jake Goldsby. A fairly eventful run of games here as we've started the market down series that they just played three in a row. Tonight, not a market down game. I knew it wouldn't be. This was sort of a sleepy get out of town for the Tigers sort of game. The Jays, again, avoiding sweeping. They do not sweep. They are swept. 8-5. Jake, how are you feeling?
Fine, I think. I think today was, or tonight's game was, like you said, relatively semi-expected.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to sweep.
No, it was an interesting week, I thought. There's a lot of positives, arguably just as many negatives, but it's feeling pretty good. I think the, it's always tougher coming off sort of a boring loss game after two very exciting wins. I'll put it this way. I'm very curious how they do against the undefeated Rays.
Yeah, they made it about as hard as you could possibly make it to beat the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah. Well, on the one hand, like the so-called, the quote-unquote grittiness and the comeback kids energy and all that, not sure I love, like, three games in a row putting themselves into precarious positions against the Tigers.
Yeah, it hasn't been the smoothest 8-5. I mean, it's one of those things where you're sort of waving away the fact that anything is really wrong because they've been winning these games. But, I mean, it's right there in front of you. I think you can count on one hand the amount of what I would call good starts that they've had. I think Gausman's had a couple. I think Manoah had one. I think Bassett was perfectly fine today. Kikuchi had one, but it hasn't been great pitching, that's for sure.
I need to complain about Chris Bassett.
There we go, finally.
I'm going to become a cranky old man.
I love that.
Talking about Chris Bassett for a change. I think it's time that they stop letting him call his own game with the pitch calm. I hate it. I find it so... My old cranky old man theory, based on nothing, is that he's distracted by it.
Ooh.
And it's causing him to leave pitches hanging when he doesn't mean to. Like, when he was struggling with it in the second tonight, he left a couple hanging. He got real hard contact in the second inning, only saved by Javi Baez not knowing where he was tonight. And instead of having to confront the idea that, like, maybe Chris Bassett just isn't good, I am choosing to blame his pitch calm thing. Because, yeah, like, it's great that you throw 8 pitches, but if they're all 70 middle, then who cares?
He also had the great, I heard the story relayed on the broadcast tonight that he had said that in a previous start, he had reset the settings or something on the pitch calm. It was like getting a different pitchers, different pitchers.
It seems like it's making things harder.
It's interesting. I'll try to temper your old manness and say he had 7 Ks tonight, did walk 3 and 4 hits. And as you said, sort of the buckets of hard contact. He's such a guy that pitches in such a way that I think when he does get hit, it's always going to look worse because it's sort of like the stuff isn't overpowering in any way. Like the Trout home run he gave up, it was like, well, yeah, you throw 90 flat over the middle of the plate to Mike Trout, it's going to get hit a home run every single time. But he's sort of been fine-ish for the last 2 starts. He was really bad, obviously, in his debut. But I'm not enjoying the experience of watching Chris Bassett. Results be damned. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm such an old crank. I don't like the pitch calm period, frankly.
No, neither do I. I'm with you on that. I also feel like I thought it was kind of funny this week how all 3 starters in the Tigers series, not one of them allowed more than 3 runs.
Yes.
But only Gausman's start felt like a positive start.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, we all watched Manoah, he didn't look good, but I thought it was funny that like 3 very different 3 or 2 in Bassett's case run games, but all very, very different.
It helps when you strike out 11, of course, and don't walk anybody. I think it's the walks. I think it's definitely the walks. I know Manoah was really, really, really fighting it in the home opener on Tuesday, and you know, you get no walks from Gausman. He strikes out 11. It looks better, even if the base runners are all equal, which they are not. You sort of are seeing the dominance with those 2 pitches, and he does have very visible overpowering stuff when it's going well versus, you know, Bassett's whole bag of tricks, that toolbox that he throws out there. But yeah, I mean, there's no question as we get right into it, there's no question that the pitching is the biggest curiosity right now, because again, we try not to make it a referendum every single time Jose Berríos is on the mound, and that is going to be tomorrow against the undefeated Tampa Bay Rays. But, you know, not enjoying the Bassett starts and not knowing at this moment what you're getting from Manoah, you're also not sure about Berríos and you're also not sure about Kikuchi. It's like it's very quickly, and it's April, and we are in 13 games played zone. Not even everybody hasn't even had their third start. But it's crazy. They're 8-5. They've been playing pretty well. The third in the East still. It's just like it's going to be this all year long, right? As good or bad as they possibly play, it feels like they're never going to be pulled too far away from the Yankees or maybe even the Orioles. Like, it just feels like as good as they play, the Yankees are going to play just as well. And it's very clear that the Rays are going to be annoying this year, as they always are. So, you know, the small problems become big problems pretty quickly. And right now, the biggest, easiest to find problem on this team is the starting pitching. I don't think it's,
yeah.
You know, we want to caveat all the, like, it's earlies and all the track record stuff you want to do. They got to get the pitching right. The everything else was going too well. The hitting, they have like three of the best hitters in baseball right now between Bichette, Guerrero, and Chapman, who's been unbelievable. The bullpen has, for the most part, been pretty stable. The starting pitching has to be there. It just has to. It's again, not panicking about it yet, but it's the first thing that has stuck out that is like, whoa, boy, keep a monitor on this.
I'm going to throw in another major concern I have.
This is the podcast for you if you're somebody who sees the mate in five and is like, I am wholly unsatisfied.
No, I'm not unsatisfied. Just something I noticed today for the first time. And I think it's something we touched on a little bit leading into the season. You and I were focused more on the outfield, but I think this applies roster wide now. And that is, today, at 6 hours ago, at 3:34 p.m., the Blue Jays tweeted out their lineup for today. And it looked great. You had Springer, your usual lineup. You know, 1 through 6, extremely solid. You know, if Belt and Merrifield get going, even better. And then there's Gavin Biggio. But then, 3 hours later, Matt Chapman is scratched because he's sick, which is fair. That happens. Now that lineup just looks much worse. Once you take Chapman out of there, you got Springer, Bichette, and Vlad, no problem. Varsho's been great. Kirk, you know, starting to heat up once he got home. Belt's a question mark. Merrifield's always a question mark. Espinal hasn't been hitting at all. Biggio's still there. I don't know how you go about adding even more depth than they have. But without Chapman in there, the depth looks strained, especially when you consider that, like, I guess my point is when Witt and Espinal and Biggio and Belt especially, Merrifield a little bit, aren't, like, hitting league average even. The lineup, once you take away one of the good guys, is not great. It's early and like small sample size, whatever. And
for sure.
Fair enough. Like, this could all even out in the wash by May. But at the moment, taking one guy out of the lineup seems to change the appearance of that lineup quite a lot.
Espinal has not found the all-star form quite yet. Belt turning it around a little bit more, but no, there's a point to be made there that they have, you know, if the 1 through 9 when they are starting their 1 through 9 is has shown already in this season, has shown that they can come back in any game and slug with anybody. But yeah, as incredible as Chapman has been, not having Chapman there does sort of lay pretty bare that, like, we talked about this, I think, in our sort of preseason talk, that we don't mind the three-headed monster of Merrifield, Espinal, Biggio as like a rotation in the corner outfield and second base. But today, all three of them played. Yeah. They are all starters. That was 7-8-9, Merrifield, Espinal, Biggio. And that's how you end up scoring one run in a game. Not that it's any of their specific problems or faults, but, like, you know, 6 through 9 today was Belt, Merrifield, Espinal, Biggio. That's not quite the same as, you know, you are putting Kiermaier 9th, who has been absolutely excellent in the 9 hole, and putting just one of those guys at 2nd and having Springer in right and Vlad at 1st. And it's a pretty marked change. And obviously depth is something important that you want them to address. They have Jordan Luplo, which I don't think we talked about last week, that I feel almost nothing about. But yeah, it's, I don't want to say tenuous, but we have known, and I think we continue to know, and it continues to linger in the back of our minds that health is paramount to them being the team we want them to be this year. There's just no question.
It makes me think a little bit about, our conversation about Addison Barger. I'm not sitting here being like, he's the difference maker, bring him up. But the fact is today, whether you have, I guess my point, I don't really see the purpose of the Lucas Luplow spot right now. Where, and you know, look, this is splitting hairs and nitpicking a roster. But when your goal is the World Series, that's sort of how, when you're already good, these are the things you have to sort of pick apart, I think. Like, there's not massive sea changes to be done to this roster at this point. But I do think at this point, that spot seems to be kind of pointless. Like, if, like, as you said, how you're sort of fine with one or two of the Merrifield, Biggio, Espinal, three-headed monster playing. When you find a situation like tonight where you have to play all three, and that roster spot can't help you at any of those spots, I just don't see the purpose of why that's there right now and why that's being used on Luplow. And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the offseason, which, like, if they had signed a fourth outfielder who, like, wasn't Biggio or Merrifield, then, like, maybe that spot could be taken. Obviously, by the time we got to the season, signing, you know, Jerks and Profar is not going to really, like, I'm not sure that's better than what they threw at today. But the fact remains, there is one roster spot that just isn't helping. And a night like tonight, they really could have used some help.
It's an interesting, I mean, the Luplow, we can get into, like, the value of a guy who has extreme lefty splits. I'm a little nebulous on it because they still do have quite a bit of right-handed power. It's like the top of the lineup is still righty-dominated. It's still Springer, Bichette, Guerrero. You're still getting, you know, Merrifield, Espinal, the catchers. There's still plenty of righty bats in this lineup that I don't know that a specific lefty split guy that... you know, the lefty starting, other than the three straight Angel starters, you might get a lefty starter once a week. You might maybe twice a week on, like, an extreme week, is a guy who is only going to start one of every six or five games really what you want to do with that slot. And obviously this is a liquid thing. Luplow could get DFA'd and dropped tomorrow, or by the time this podcast comes out, he could be off the team.
Yeah,
we wouldn't know, but there is sort of a, you know, the debate about Barger was one, or Barger or Otto Lopez or Nathan Lucas was sort of the question of, like, which one of those guys was it going to be. It was sort of, what do you want out of that role? And I remember we had that same conversation about, do you want it to be an upside guy or a floor guy, a guy that you sort of know. Basically what you're getting and what you're hoping to get is sort of 0.0 war. And it, it's interesting. This is a game, I'm sort of with you. This is a game where you wouldn't mind to have that upside spark, especially with how much Espinal is struggling and how, Belt as well. It's starting to come around a little bit now that he's playing at home, but there's a lot of, challenges in putting a lineup together, missing just one of the talented guys, and obviously, of course, with Jansen struggling so much out of the gate as well. There's sort of two of the regulars have done next to nothing in Jansen and Espinal, and Belt sort of just starting to get it turned around. It does sort of show that this is a different offense too, as well, right? It's not the same machine that they are hooked up to, but we digress. It's generally a positive thing. I'm generally pretty positive about the way,
like,
the team is
despite
playing.
Everything I've said in the last 15 minutes, so am I. I'm just, again, this is, we're nitpicking.
Well, they lost to the Tigers, so they lost one to the Tigers, but they had to come back in the previous two. Some very exciting stuff. The home opener ended up being a bit of a homer fest. Nice to see them get back to hitting bombs and to playing. You know, all the hits of the new stadium, you get the incredible Kiermaier catch, you get balls being hit into the bullpens. Overall, I think a successful debut for the new stadium, yes?
Yeah, I think so. I think it looks, I mean, like, we already talked about last week, like, I don't, none of the concession stuff makes me excited, but I think the park looks great. I like the new dimensions. I like that we have a short porch that other teams can complain about in Wright. The Rays' bullpens look great. I like the color of the walls. I like the little Kevin Kiermaier defense wall. Yeah, no, I think I like that. You know, you don't really notice it watching the game, but whenever they showed clips from last season and you saw what like the outfield looked like last year, and I guess for the last however many years it is, it's been, you're like, oh, this does look better. And I like that they're, you know, opening the roof early and seem to be making a concerted effort to make it a more pleasant place to watch a game, a more convenient place to watch game stuff for families, more pub, general admission areas. I'm going on Sunday, and I'm actually genuinely excited to check it out. I think it looks great.
Yeah, everybody who went that I know really did seem to rave and say it felt like a totally different ballpark, and it had a also sort of had a brand new vibe. Of course, people that go are predisposed to saying they had a great time, you know. People yeah. that go to the home opener, they had a great time at the home opener. I said I had a great time at the home opener every year, and they were terrible teams in a terrible building. So, a grain of salt, everyone who seemed to enjoy it. Again, another week of not being jealous for not being in any of these games. That's totally, totally fine. Yeah, no, I agree with you. The colors of the wall, yeah, I would have never thought that would be as aesthetically pleasing as it is, but right? It really, really is. It really is beautiful to see.
It's kind of a, this feels kind of stupid to say, but like the color of the wall makes it look like a more legitimate modern ballpark.
It's weird, but it's true.
Like the trim, it's silly, you know? But it does.
I think the other big story we have, so we talked a little bit about last week about Vlad, and we obviously talked about Matt Chapman being very, very good. Kevin Kiermaier really continues to steal hearts and minds. He really is that guy.
I tweeted as a joke tonight from our account that I ended up saying out loud during the Biggio at bat, you got to put in Kiermaier here. What are you doing? Which seems crazy, but like, I mean, he's been great. I'm so Kiermaier pilled.
It's sickening.
It's sickening is the right word. It's unbelievable how quickly. And he's good at it too. Like his post-game interview on Tuesday, he knows how to work the crowd with those baby blues.
You know, I was talking today on Homestand Sports. I was in there talking Blue Jays and talking specifically about Kevin Kiermaier, and sort of we're obviously very much in a honeymoon period. He's not going to hit 350 throughout the course of his entire Blue Jays career. It's going to drop, and it's probably going to drop quite a bit, right? His averages are like 250-ish, and the OBP is like around 300 or maybe like 320. So all these numbers are going to drop a little bit. And the question, you know, that was posed to me was like, is the love affair still going to be there for Kevin Kiermaier even when he goes, say, 0-for-20? And the reason I think it's probably going to be a little softer is like he is, I think, in a traditional way, a guy that can play a good game without hitting well, if you know what I mean. It's sort of in the same realm that you would say a hockey player who is a goal scorer or a basketball player who is an offensive force. Like, can they have a good game even when their shot isn't falling? Can they have a good game even when they're not scoring goals? And I do think that is something that Kiermaier is going to be able to bring. Like, he can have a pretty positive force on the game even without hitting 350, right? He's making good plays in center field, taking away outs, cutting off balls in the alley, taking away doubles, throwing to the right bases, running the base as well, lying down bunts, getting runners over. I think there's a lot of ways he can affect the game that aren't going to be needing him to have, say, a 147 OPS plus the whole way.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think just having the, you know, the hope of turning the lineup over that he's been doing so well so far, which I agree with, like it's going to come to an end. But I still feel better about him in that spot right now than I do about Biggio or Espinal or even Brandon Belt at this point. So, it's weird to be enjoying him so much, but I really am. The little things, etc.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and then, I mean, geez, what else really is there? Vlad has been just unbelievable.
Vlad's been great. Chapman's been ridiculous.
Chapman's been very good. If you look at the Statcast page, it'll tell you he's actually been fairly under performing Defender this year, which I think is pretty funny. Obviously a very small sample size, but it's sort of a funny, is like he's been hitting so well and hasn't been as great defensively. But that's the way it goes. Yeah, Chapman's been unbelievable, hitting everything, hitting it to all fields, hitting for power. Again, I continue day after day to say how much I'm just enjoying the approach this year, top to bottom for the lineup. There's little flares, there's dink and dunks, there's ground ball singles, there's, you know, obviously they had the big home run game in the opener, but they've been getting it done a lot of different ways. The way they got it done in game two of this series, of really nothing going all that well for them, and then managing to manufacture the runs with guys getting over, and you know, eventually a sac fly gets it done, and a bunch of small things. It's nice to know that they have a bunch of different tools in the arsenal if they really need them.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think especially the 1-5 guys and Kiermaier have, as you say, like, it's nice to see Vlad, for example, hitting like hard ground ball singles, and that not being like, ugh, get the ball up, because he's also doing that. Like, yes, it's a well, I am happy that they were able to score 9 on Tuesday, just to sort of remind us that they can hit like 4 home runs in a game. I'd like to see a little bit more of that, I think. But again, early days, small sample size. But yeah, I think all complaints or worries, I should say, I have with the team are on the pitching and defensive side of the ball. And certainly at the moment, not really on the offensive side, with exception of the little lineup nitpick.
Yeah, and doing that with a couple guys, like the lineup has been so good with a handful of guys that haven't been good. Again, yeah, sort of Jansen, Espinal, and Belt, basically getting very little from those three guys. So also room to improve there, which is nice. They do welcome next the 13-0 Tampa Bay Rays.
I'm glad they're 13-0.
The thing is, the Rays aren't going to go. They're not going to go undefeated the rest of the year, so I feel like the Jays are going to beat them somewhere in this series. Mark my words, if they get swept, but I feel like the Jays will find a way to take one off the Rays, who already have the 13-game winning streak out of the way. So it's so effing it. The Rays plus 71 run differential right now, plus 71.
They're taking two off them for sure.
I hope so. It's Barrio. You say it's Barrios, Kikuchi, in those first two games, but. But so be it. That'll be worth watching this weekend at the Rog. And you said you're going Sunday, right? You're going from McClanahan Manoa. That's fucking pretty sweet.
I mean, I'm definitely happy to see the big fella. McClanahan, he plays the Rays, so go to hell.
I mean, one of the best pitchers in baseball right now. But yeah, that's gonna be pretty sick. And then off to Houston in New York. So the early days of Kansas City, Los Angeles, Detroit are behind them.
That's good. I think that's good though. I'm glad that we can sort of not only, you know, quote unquote, see what they're about, but I'm glad we will get the, like, they only beat the bad teams narrative out of the way one way or the other immediately. So,
yeah,
it's good.
Tampa, Houston, New York. That's a not fun 9 games. But that's the next week and a half. We'll obviously have a lot more to say about that. We're going to open up the mailbag in a second. But for the Patreon folks, we're going to dig a little off topic in between here and there after this. Hey, Jake, we got a quickie here for those of you on the main feed, and we thank you for being part of the main feed. If you want a little extra, we talked about taxes, we talked about our mental state, we talked about sort of my son's first birthday, all that stuff. It's available on the Patreon, patreon.com/lessthanjays. You also get market down games. We did 3 last week. When a big game happens, that sort of feels like bigger than just one of 162. Mark it down in the calendar, and we will do... basically, if one person tells us to do it, we do it. That's what I've learned from this.
Yeah, I think that's...
Left Field Brewery tweeted us market down yesterday, and we were like, yeah, okay, and then like snapped into action. So yeah, market down games, you get... basically, you're going to get twice as many podcasts, I would probably say. Three last week, Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday all ended up being market down games. You had the season opener, the home opener, and the big come-from-behind win against the Angels, the come-from-behind win in extras, the small ball win against Detroit. All of that is on there, again, as well as extended episodes and UFC, UFC previews. I did Wrestling Brain, WrestleMania review on there with Josh C. from Wrestling Brain. That sort of is going to be the dumping ground for when we have ideas or things we want to podcast about. It'll go there, and we'll try to get another series up and running at some point this year as well, a recurring, a refillable, if you will, to get in there. So anyway, that being said, it is time for the mailbag. If you want to give us a mailbag answer or a question, it's at Less Than Jays on Twitter. We put it out on the beginning of show day. 11 replies here, so we'll see what we get. James Nielsen says, would you like the idea of the Blue Jays starting every season on a long road trip? It feels like an advantage to get so many road games out of the way early on at a time when most teams aren't quite in regular season mode, and it increases the odds of an open dome in April. I think the second half of that, I think you're still 50-50, right?
Yeah, I was shocked. Despite the beautiful weather, I was shocked they opened it this early.
Well, like if like next week it's going to be cold again, correct?
Yeah, it's going to be like 8 degrees on Monday.
So I still, it's not necessarily that guaranteeing that gets you that, but I didn't mind the 10 games to start on the road. I thought it was sort of nice because it, you know, you're slow playing into it, and then you do get home opener and dome opener a little closer. I'm surprised back to back days as you were today. But yeah, in general, I don't hate the idea of the 10-game road trip to start the season. I don't think I would build it in as a feature, not a bug. That is part of why they have the dome, so they can play at home in April with no problems. I don't know. Where do you land on this, Jake?
I like it. I like it when the team is good. Let's put it that way. Because when the team is good, I think it's a fun way to like build the excitement for the home opener.
That's true.
Again, I don't go to the home opener by choice because I don't like it very much. But I think maybe it was because of the new stadium, and we have to go check in with Hazel to get an update from the
Poutine Corona
deck or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just the stadium, but it felt like more hype behind this opening series than even last year, where it was the first full season in a couple years in Toronto. And no, what was that last year? No,
last year was the first full season.
Yeah.
God, 2021 they had no sense of time. They come back at the second
but
half.
But yeah, like I felt, to me, Tuesday and even yesterday's game on Wednesday felt a little bigger than your usual first couple games at home. And I think that was helped by the fact that we got to see the team play for 10 games before they came back to Toronto.
I think it did help. I'm with you. I think sort of they came back and we already knew it was like, oh man, Kiermaier is good. Like we sort of already knew that we couldn't wait to see Kiermaier. We sort of already knew a bunch of the things were going the way they were. So I lean pretty close to maybe agreeing with this, even though it sort of seems on the paper to maybe have just been everything lining up in a way that it may not be repeatable. I don't hate the road. If you were asking me, would I rather them play 10 games at home to start the season or 10 games on the road, I would pick 10 on the road. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Aoife's Curve. If you could have designed one of the new patio or bar spaces at the Dome, what would it consist of? Tell us about the Less Than Jays Lounge. Ooh la la.
It would be a corner of the stadium. Like it would be one of the 500 corner patios.
Uh-huh.
And it would be like darker mm-hmm. and dirtier. And it would just be a shitty dive in the middle of a nice expensive baseball stadium.
Yeah, you're doing our original idea from a decade ago. You're doing outfield sneaky D's.
Yeah, basically, doing. Yeah. I want a bartender that like won't really work that hard to get my drink ready.
Now we're talking.
I want sticky tables. The bathrooms at Skydome are already disgusting, so that works. Yeah, I want people sat at the bar watching the game they're at on TV and just like mad about it.
What's that bar downtown? Wide Open?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I would do, it'd be fun to do like Wide Open in one of the tunnels that like enters.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Right? So it's just it's like one of those, one of the entries to the 500 is like, it's a bar. It's like, it's just the thinnest bar in baseball. Because if you don't know, downtown Toronto, there's a bar called Wide Open. It's basically an alleyway. It can't be more than, I don't know, 12 feet across. Like it's basically a hallway with a bar in it. That could be work. And the alternate, of course, listen, this is where it's such a benefit for me to have so many foods that are basically a meme for me. So I could, it's a Reuben, you have a Reuben place.
You want a Jewish deli in Scotland.
You nailed it. Do you want to do Toronto culture? You want to get real about Toronto culture? Give me a Jewish delicatessen in the Rogers Center.
I will say, shout out to Mark Shapiro for going on the Blue Jays broadcast on Tuesday and making our point we made last week for us, where he said he wants to see him to represent the whole country, not just Toronto. And that's why we have stupid shit like poutine dogs and Caesar burgers or whatever it is. You're in Toronto. Make your stadium represent cool shit in Toronto.
Jewish deli.
Jewish deli. Get a real jerk in there.
I'm into the outfield Jewish deli.
Outfield Jewish deli is hilarious.
And like,
just have like three old Jewish men at the front, just like complaining the whole
time. Yeah, and like there's a pretty good chance if you go there, you like are gonna get roped into a conversation you don't really want to bother having, and you're just like. So like, how much longer is it going to take to make my sandwich? And you like, you miss an inning and a half, and you're like, oh my God. What is it about us and wanting our experience to not be as good as it can be?
It's just more interesting that way.
Mike Morton, who is the most embarrassing Jay for your mom to have a crush on, past or present? Embarrassing is tough. In parentheses, haven't recovered from my mom telling me Jose Canseco was hot. I think my mom and many other moms of the era in the early 90s were pretty big Paul Molitor fans, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think everyone was a big Paul Molitor fan.
He's a handsome fella.
He is a handsome fella. Currently, I would probably say Chris Bassett, because he has bad opinions.
Not like the rest of them.
No, well, we don't know. The others have the good sense to keep them quiet, so we live in ignorance.
Listen, odds are your mom likes Kevin Kiermaier. Like, let's get real.
Yeah, for sure.
I think everyone likes Kevin Kiermaier.
A lot of moms are upgrading this year because they are able to put their Kevin Pillar crushes away and have hotter, nicer, non-homophobic Kevin Kiermaier.
Yeah, I don't know. Nowadays, it's hard. It's hard to even say if there's an embarrassing one. It's a group of handsome lads down there.
It is a handsome team. I think, like, obviously the handsome factor took a hit losing Teoscar and Lourdes, no question. But it's still a handsome team.
But now they hit Springer and Kiermaier back-to-back.
They do. That is a hot 9-1.
Turn that lineup over. Prairie Jays, very pointed question here. Will Berríos ever be good again? I don't think so. It's tough, man. The thing is he continues to have the in-between innings where he pitches pretty well.
That makes me even angrier, though.
I feel
the
like
fact
that
he goes like
suggests,
seven and strikes out nine, but lets in seven runs in the first inning. Like, that's not fun. I don't like that.
There's just a way that, like, it maybe suggests that, like, there could be you keep wanting to believe that there could be the one tweak that makes those the majority and not sort of the in between, but it's really hard, man. It's a really unforgiving game. He's not in the AL Central anymore, where he's beating up on the Tigers 16 times a year, or you know, there's not a lot of room for error in the modern game, and there's not a lot of room for error against hitters the way that hitters hit now. And if you can't throw fastball, if you don't have the fastball, everything else sort of falls apart behind it. We saw on Tuesday's game when Manoah wasn't locating his fastball, it didn't matter that his slider was filthy because no one cared, because it was just like, well, you can't throw fastball for strikes. I'm not worried about your secondary pitches. And that same thing happens to Berríos. He has that great sweeper slurve, but he can't throw his fastball worth a damn, so nobody cares. And that was also, you know, when Bassett is in trouble, all of these guys, when the fastball isn't working, it all sort of falls apart from there. So, yeah, I don't know. I want to believe Jose Berríos will be good again, but could be.
Yeah, my thing with Berríos is just, you know, it's now going on a full season, plus an appearance at the World Baseball Classic, plus a couple spring training games, of saying, like, well, he can't be this bad all the time. Which, I don't know, we're getting real. I feel like he's got, like, a month of more runway before it's like, oh, he's just bad now.
Yeah. I don't know how many more you can give it either, but he's going to be around for a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
Sean Woodley, Rob Manfred sucks, but do you think it's possible the pitch clock goes down as the single best thing to come out of his tenure? Seems like a very good rule.
Yeah, I thought I was really going to hate it. I won't lie, but I think it's great. Despite myself, yeah. I think it's great.
That might be the theme of 2023 for you.
Just begrudgingly liking things I went in with a bad attitude about.
You're going to be like, and you know what? I looked into it, and Chris Bassett makes some good points if you really read.
I don't think
if you really read the right sites.
You do your research.
Do your own. Don't go to anything that ends in .com. I like that. I think I might even like No Shift even more. It's subtle, but like, I'm happy that a hard hit ball gets through now.
Unless, like, you're the Blue Jays today playing the Tigers and you sort of shift your outfield and keep pitching a guy inside, then it doesn't work. But that's my own frustration of today.
If you had to pick a date on when the national media will have the "Are we sure John Schneider is good" conversation, what day would you think that would happen?
It's record dependent. If they're 500 by like May 15th, it's happening.
I think that day might come closer than we.
I could see.
We're pretty good at predicting things.
I don't think we're gonna get "Are we sure he's good?" We're gonna get "Are we sure he's experienced enough to lead the team to the World Series?"
Sure. Andrew Robertson, one of the streamers, is playing videos of baseball Zen moments in place of commercials. I can't abide by, you know, streaming. For the games, I can't say one way or the other if that's a good thing to do or not. I did not informed well enough. I'm going to have to do my own research. What sights and sounds of the great game bring you the feeling of peace and zen? If I could have the option to watch a baseball game with no commentary for out of town, I would do that. I want my hometown announcers. I want to hear what the Jays are doing. If I could just have like Mets Padres on in the background with no announcers, that to me would be so good, I think.
Yeah, that's a good one. I love the sound of a bullpen in an empty park.
Oh, that's a good one.
Just like the,
yeah,
the crack of the glove.
Man,
and like
bullpen.
The soft return to the pitcher glove.
Bullpen session is a great pick, Jake. That might be low key the one. The bullpen, the empty bullpen is really very good. I like the still din of the crowd when nothing that exciting is happening.
Little murmur.
Yeah, the like 5 to 10,000 conversations happening at once sort of thing. Middle of the game, nothing too exciting is happening. That brings me a great peace and some great calm. And finally, Mike Mack 2112 MM asks us, if you could name one bar or food item at Rogers Center, what would it be? A few examples I came up with are Buck Martinis. Good luck beating Buck Martinis. Holy. Hot O-Dog. Buck Martinis, still the best one so far. Zonton Soup. So stupid. And Frank Catalanachos. Look at that.
That's great. Damn, that's good.
Mike Mack. 3 out of 4 of those are very good. Hot O-Dog, not the best, but Buck Martinis and Frank Catalanachos is really good.
That's really good. Frank Catalanachos is excellent.
You do like a sloppy. You do like a sloppy Joe Carter, you know?
I wouldn't have named one of them the Corona Patio. one year out of COVID. I'll tell you that much. I know nobody wears their masks at Jays games, so it could be a good name in a way, but not. I know it's sponsorship, but that's not where I would have gone with it coming out of a pandemic.
I think with them finally acknowledging Fred McGriff again, you could do Crime Dogs.
Yeah, Crime Dogs would work. I'm trying to think of like Jays. The Jays aren't like a big nickname team, or haven't been for a while. You could do a po boy stand called Bo Poys.
Bo, that's not. See, I thought you were gonna do Barbecue.
Oh, Barbecue, yeah.
Or like Vladdy's Patties, if you wanted to find a way to get Jamaican patties into the room. Jamaican Vladdy's
pretty good.
Jamaican Vladdy's.
George Spring Rolls.
There you go. We're getting there. Yeah. I don't. That's like, is there, what can I?
Kevin,
can I, please do it. Please
do it. How are you gonna make it work, Kevin? I can't find a way to make it make sense. I'm trying to make an Oscar Mayer Wiener thing here.
Tough.
Kiermaier Wiener, but there's no way to fit the Oscar in there. It's not going to work.
Tough. That's a tough one.
That's hard.
Yeah. I feel like just Romano's could be like a nice.
Romano's already. It sounds like a hipster like a Italian restaurant.
Yeah. Anywhere to Romano's, get the bolognese.
Anthony Bass. Just fish. Yeah. Just fish.
Who drink. I think I might have called, then Anthony Bass might suck.
He might be.
I might have called that before the season started. Anyway, some great answers there. I still think Buck Martinis and Frank Catalanachos win the day.
Hard to beat that.
Only maybe because I'm in a not maybe because I love nachos and I've decided to make this the year that I drink martinis.
You have a soda fountain bar, just Zach Pops.
Zach Pops, yeah. Who's there great. You go.
Who's awesome? Apparently,
I love Zach Pop. Me too.
I can't believe that he was the last bullpen guy. He looks. So good.
Okay, that's the mailbag. We're going to quickly wrap this mofo up with a little reverse mailbag and then to move on to the end of the show after this. Wait, that just flew by, didn't it? Didn't that just fly by the last hour?
I tell you.
Just talking ball. Two guys that know ball talking ball. What else is there? It's time for the end of the show. It was reverse mailbag time, and I got a nice one in the Patreon inbox today that I actually hear echoed from some people I was talking to at work. We were talking about the Blue Jays baseball because people know me as a baseball guy at the office, so they asked me about baseball. Andrew wrote us on the Patreon, and the question last week was, about which part of the ballpark were you most excited about seeing? And Andrew says, all the new spots look great. The Dome sorely needed this. Looking forward to trying the Cubano hot dog and sitting in those bleachers. But I think the big thing for me is the $20 general admission ticket. This alone will get me out to more ball games, knowing you can get in the building for a decent price and find a good spot in 100 and 200 if you get there early enough. And I will say to people I talk to at work who are not big baseball fans, telling them about this ticket, they were like, oh, that's what I would do. No question. They're like, oh, $20 and I can sit bleachers or I can sit in one of the cool patios and take it easy and like stand or sit and relax. That everyone in my office was like, yeah, that's exactly what I would do was I would get the $20 GA. So kudos to them. I think that's a good answer. Do you like that answer?
I do like that answer.
I'm curious what will happen when it's playoff time up to that. Like,
I was wondering that as well. I would, ironically, put money down that those seats aren't free.
Well, this, yeah.
I don't or, know sorry, free. Not free. Those prices go up, and I don't know what they charge for, but it won't be as smooth and easy as it is right now.
Yeah. The bleacher muscling will be something to see. Anyway, that is...
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to handle that.
Yeah, I know. I would say my it's the bullpens for me. I am interested to go sit in those right behind the bullpen bleachers. I know it might be like first come, first serve thing. It might be hard to get in there. I would like to get in there and do it at least once. And
I feel like you have a pretty good shot in like a mid-July
Yeah, right? Or, you know, I don't know what the courtesy is. If people get there and then sit there the whole game, or if they get up and move around, or if somebody gets up to go to the washroom, can you sit there? I don't know. But I, like you said, the sound alone of the bullpen is really intoxicating, and it would be fun to sort of get that close. It is always really fun to see the guys absolutely shoving like that. What about you, Jake? What I know we talked about it a little bit, but is there anything specific you're looking forward to on Sunday?
I mean, it sounds kind of silly. There's new seats in the 500s, I believe. And I'm curious about that. I'm sure they're still going to be uncomfortable plastic things, but I'm curious. I'm excited to walk around something that a baseball park in Toronto that feels sort of unfamiliar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's been my entire baseball going life. Skydome has been more or less the same. And I'm kind of excited to just have a new experience at the Dome, which I don't think I've ever had.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty darn cool. I'm looking forward to you being there on Sunday. I'm a little jealous. Seems like it's gonna be pretty cool.
Yeah, if I'm not too tired or too in the bag, I will do a mark it down review of of the stadium.
He's marking it down on Sunday. I hope you do, because I'm going to be maybe in transit. I don't know what my Sunday looks like. Chaotic, I'm going to guess. that's it for another week. Thank you all so much for being along for the ride. Good to have the season going. Good to be in a rhythm. Good to sort of... I'm excited for 2 weeks from now, Jake, when we have nothing to talk about because we've already used all our bullets. We're like, well, still worried about this, still worried about that. Nothing will change.
That's how it goes, baby.
Maybe we'll open up Baseball Reference and start coveting. That's always fun to do.
Who sucks? Right. Who the can circles we steal? Are coming.
Yes. I want Alex Lang.
you want the turtleneck.
He looks psycho. I love him. That's it for another week. Thank you, as always, for being a part of the show. If you want more episodes, you want to mark it down, you want the extended talk, all of that and more, patreon.com/lessthanjays. The $5 tier gets you the extra talk. The $9 tier gets you the extra episodes. All that and more is findable there. Thank you so much. As always, for being a part of Less Than Jays.